Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. Usually we're on at Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, but today just did a special show to do on a weekday to maybe catch some other listeners that don't usually maybe listen on Sundays. My name is Melissa Cantrella, and you can find more about me on truthbetoldradio.com. Also on Facebook, I also have a page for Truth Be Told Radio, this radio program. And I'm going to get you started today with a clip from Living Waters University. It's actually not like just like a school, it's Living Waters. It's the ministry and for Christians, and what it is, they call it that because they're teaching people how to evangelize, and they have these clips on YouTube, and so I made them into audio. You could actually view them yourself on YouTube, like put Living Waters University, and then it'll come up with clips like these that I'm going to play. So I'm going to do the first one. Here is from Living Waters University. It's Victor or Victoria.
Have you ever noticed how quickly some people will try to negate their need of repentance by implying that you're judging them? Doesn't the Bible say, "Judge not, lest ye be judged"? How many times have we heard that? In other words, what they're saying is that because they think you're judging them, that now gives them the right to do whatever they want to do, regardless of what God has already said about what they're doing. It's amazing how readily some people will quote the Bible in their own defense, while at the same time completely writing off everything else that it has to say about the way that they're living. Setting aside the fact that they're completely misunderstanding what the Bible means when it says not to judge others, the main thing they fail to realize is that the Bible says that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And he's already judged that the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So in other words, the judgment has already been made by God. All that you're doing is lovingly telling them about this because you care about them and don't want them to face an eternity in hell. Watch as Ray risks being judged as judgmental while at the same time pointing out the righteous judgments of God.
Victoria, do you think you're a good person?
I've been a good person. I've also been a bad person. I've done some really stupid things and said some bad things, and I've lied and I've hurt people. But God's gracious. He's forgiven me for that.
How do you know that?
Well, it says in the Bible that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us.
Have you been born again?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have a relationship with God.
Are you living in holiness?
I try to, you know. I still make mistakes like everybody.
Are you a cross-dresser?
Yes.
And you're a Christian?
Right.
Do you think God thinks that's good?
I don't know. I approach him about this all the time, and he knows all about it.
Do you read your Bible?
Sure, almost every day.
You do?
Well, not every day. Maybe once a week. There are times I repeat it quite frequently.
Well, do you think it's a good witness that you're dressed like a woman? You call yourself a Christian, and we're called to be without reproach and to live in holiness and not cause anyone to stumble. Do you think it's a good witness? Paul said he won't eat meat if it causes someone else to stumble. Just personally, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I stumble at the fact that you're dressed like a woman and you're a man. You know?
Well, you know, I've turned out to be a transvestite. I grew up this way. I've been this way for years.
What do you mean by transvestite?
I enjoy cross-dressing. I've been fighting it for years, and as soon as I've accepted that as myself,
Victoria, I could enjoy adultery. I could get great joy out of it, but I don't do it because it's wrong. I could enjoy theft. There's a sense of excitement with theft. There's a lot. I could enjoy pornography because I've got a wicked heart. But I don't do it because if you live after the flesh, the Bible says you'll die. You've got to, repentance has to be perpetual. It's continual. It's always yielding to God's lordship and not your own desires. And living as a cross-dresser in our culture is offensive. And you need to think about your witness and your testimony to those that you love and to your neighbors and to other people. If you call yourself a Christian, you should be above reproach and living a life that's pleasing to God and pleasing to men as much as possible. Does that make sense?
A lot of my friends accept me who I am. People at church accept me who I am.
What church do you go to?
I go to a Methodist church.
Is it kind of traditional?
It's an accepting church.
Yeah, does it accept homosexuals also?
We accept homosexuals.
And they don't have to change?
No.
See, the Bible says homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says neither will thieves and liars or adulterers and fornicators. And Victoria, what's your real name?
Victor,
I care about you as a person. And imagine if your eyes meet my eyes on Judgment Day and I said, look, I just accept you to that day when we talk, but I knew it was wrong. Imagine if you stand before the Lord and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. This is your eternal salvation.
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am. This is the way I've turned out. He knows all about it. I bring this before him. I have friends who are homosexual who are in our church. And they are beautiful people, and there isn't any problem. If people choose to be that way and be close to God, who are we to criticize them?
Well, have you ever thought about this, that there's such a thing as idolatry where we shape a God to suit ourselves? I did it before as a Christian. I shaped a God to suit my sins. God is perfect and holy and righteous, and he by no means clear the guilty, so it's important that you don't shape a God that you feel it. That accepts your sins. You don't shape a God that's from your imagination. That you look at the God revealed in Scripture, the holy, perfect, and righteous God.
Now, what is idolatry and sin to you may not be to me or to other people.
That's true.
And so I feel you're being critical about people who are accepting homosexuals people who like to cross-dress as transvestites. There are a lot of Christians I know who are this way, they've accepted themselves this way, and God loves them just as much.
So, Victor, if I said to you, I'm living in adultery and I'm a Christian, would that worry you?
Well, adultery is you're hurting other people.
No, it's not. What's that? It's not. What say the woman just loves it and my wife doesn't know, no one's getting hurt, it's all done in secret, and God loves me just the way I am, and he accepts me and I'm happy, and the church says it's okay, would you be concerned for my salvation? I'm sure you would. If I was a thief and I was stealing things and I said, it's not hurting anybody, the people I'm stealing from don't know about it, they're stinking rich, I'm enjoying it, people accept me, don't judge me, you'd say, hey, I'm concerned. Well, I'm taking it one further. I'm saying adulterers won't inherit the kingdom of God, neither will thieves nor homosexuals.
About adultery. Now you're talking about thieves.
Well, both things. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, it says, thieves, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I care enough to tell you that. Check out Scripture. I wouldn't lie to you. This is your eternal salvation.
I know the Scripture and how we read it and interpret it to comply with our own convictions is something that a lot of people are doing that I think is just as wrong.
That's true. So we shouldn't do that. We should read it as it is. Okay, Victor.
We are judged according to what God. You can't tell me, you know, if I'm a thief, if I'm really hungry and I'm starving to death and I steal a loaf of bread, is God going to send me to hell? You know,
no, but he says,
I'm a thief. You say thief, all right? You don't know what the circumstances are. Every circumstance is different. You are not in a position to judge me whether I'm a thief. You are not in a position to judge me whether I'm a transvestite or a homosexual.
I don't need to, because you've told me what you are, and I've just got to say what the Bible says if I'm true and faithful. But please think about what we're talking about, because I don't get any joy out of telling you this. I only tell it to you because I care about you and where you spend eternity. So, Victor, thank you very much for talking to me.
All right, thank you. Welcome. And I admire what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Fish abides in the water and a bird abides in the air. That's where they live and that's where they obtain everything necessary for life. That's our word for today, abide. Hi, this is Dan Hayden and I have a word from the Word for you. To be fruitful Christians, we must abide in Christ. This is what Jesus taught in John 15, verses 4 and 5. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. This verse describes the conditions for becoming a healthy Christian. Notice it's not how many books you read or how many seminars you attend. A healthy Christian is one who simply abides in Christ. The word abide is a word that means to stay in a given place, to remain where you are, to stay put. Often this word is used to refer to where you live. Now Jesus uses the illustration of a branch abiding in the vine. That means it is attached. There is a vital connection between the branch and the vine. And as the branch remains in that position, everything necessary to be fruitful will flow from the vine into the branch. You see, abiding is not a casual thing, nor is it occasional. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. It's a permanent position where you stay put and are vitally connected. Well, let me ask you, are you abiding in Christ? I didn't ask if you went to church or attend a Bible study. Do you commune with Christ every day? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him? That's what it means to abide. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, being a Christian is like being married to Jesus. You spend your lives together.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com. Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques.
The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
The Quran, is it different to Genesis? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
You know, I've been asked, what are some of the differences between the Quran and the Bible's book of Genesis? Well, while it's true that the Quran says that the scriptures Christians use were given by God, there are some major differences between Genesis chapters 1 through 11 and the Quran. For example, the Bible says man was created on earth in the Garden of Eden, but the Quran says that man was created in paradise, not earth. Our Bible says creation happened over 6 24-hour days. Now, while the Quran says creation happened in 6 days, they could be interpreted as millions of years. And the Bible says we're saved by grace and not by works, but the Quran says those with a heavy balance of good deeds will attain salvation. Others will abide in hell. So Christians need to know how to defend their faith against false religions like Islam. And knowing the real history of the world, as clearly stated in Genesis, gives us confidence to reach Muslims with the true gospel.
As we close out the year, we have a brand new tool for 2010 that's not only striking, but filled with Bible-upholding information. For your donation of any size, we'll send you our 2010 wall calendar. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this wonderful wall calendar by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
Listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And Nick, you got it. We'll do another Living Waters University. This one is with a young man named what they call Magic. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Now, this next interview is not something that you're going to likely run into in your own encounters when you go to share your faith. This guy's got a hemp plant coming out of his head, and he has smoked quite a bit of marijuana in his life. His name's Magic, and he epitomizes idolatry. That is, creating a false god in your own mind that you're more comfortable with. But watch as Ray stays on track. He stays focused on the main point because he cares about him and wants him to understand the issues of eternity. And you can do the same.
Magic, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from a small farm in Vancouver, Washington.
A small farm?
A small farm, yes.
What did you have on the farm?
We had everything, not all at the same time, but everything from pigs, ducks, cows, geese, chickens, baby goats, pygmy horses, and I had a worm farm.
Now, Magic, would you consider yourself to be a spiritual person?
Very spiritual.
Well, do you believe in God's existence?
I believe in a universal higher power. Most call it God. You can put whatever label you want on it. But yes, I'm in touch with God.
And what happens after someone dies?
We rejoin the collective consciousness, the one, the universal consciousness and energy that we all come from. I don't care if you believe in the God from the Bible or if you believe in the Big Bang, no matter what, from the very beginning, we all come from that same original source. I believe God actually learns through us, each of us, all of our experiences, adds the gain the knowledge of the universe. So we're in a time where we're all being drawn together, and like all this stuff and the internet and communication and all these things, we can get people's views from around the world in an instant. And it's because of this universal consciousness that's being awakened. Basically, I am consciousness becoming aware of itself.
Are you a sane person?
Sane is in the eye of the beholder. I don't think anybody's truly sane. Sane is what people think other people should be.
So how do you know if you're sane?
I know that I know nothing, and every day is a day of gaining knowledge and experiences.
So, Magic, how do I find everlasting life? If I said to you, I'm afraid of dying, what would you tell me?
Find what makes you happy.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter.
It'll make it worse. If I'm happy, I won't want to die more.
Let's see.
How can I find everlasting life? Please help me. What would you say to me?
To find everlasting life.
Yeah.
Live your life, be happy, because it doesn't matter if you do or don't believe, you're going to have everlasting life once you go. It's okay that you don't believe, and it's okay that, not you personally, but anybody out there, if you think worms are going to eat your body and there's nothing after more, well, there is, and it's going to continue to go on. And
if there's a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there?
Actually, I'm not sure if there's a heaven, and absolutely.
If there is a heaven.
I think everybody's good enough to go there.
You're a good person?
Mistakes. I know that I'm a good person. I know that you're a good person. I know that everybody is a good person, but we all do bad things.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Couldn't tell you how many.
You mean you've lost count?
There are white lies that I tell, such as things during the point of when I medicate with marijuana. There's a point where my parents would ask, hey, are you still using marijuana? I would say no, even though I was, for their peace of their mind. Again, I need to do what works for me, but if it helps keep that truth from
them. I hear what you're saying. So what do you call someone who tells lies? I want some honesty from you. Come on.
Yeah, honesty. It
rhymes with fire and begins with L.
Yeah, liar, I gotcha.
Have you ever stolen something in your life?
Absolutely.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer.
A thief.
Oh, a thief.
Now, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
God gave you life and you used his name as a cuss word. That's called blasphemy and it's very serious in his eyes. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty, Magic.
Sure, no
problem. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Absolutely.
So here's a little summation. In your own eyes, you're a good person.
Yeah.
But in God's eyes, and even in our eyes, you're a lying thief and a blasphemer and an adulterer at heart.
Actually, I think it's man's eyes or interpretation of what God would think about us. God is all-loving and unconditional, and he knows that we're flawed. He created us flawed. So he knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're going to lie and all
that. You know what you've just done?
What's that?
You've just broken the first and the second of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, and what's that?
The second commandment says, don't make yourself a graven image. Don't make a god to suit yourself, either with your hands or your mind. I did what you did before I was a Christian. I created a god that didn't exist, a figment of my imagination, a god I could snuggle up to that I felt comfortable with. It's called idolatry. And there's only one God. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's not all loving.
And he is all of that, and he understands all of his children are all different. All of us need to be communicated in a different way, and he understands those people need to call him Buddha. Those people need to call him Jehovah. Those people need to call him God. Those people need to call him Allah. But he's okay with all of that because he understands that's how those people are drawn to him. And all he cares is that you come to him, his unconditional love, and you will be
Magic,
saved.
That's called idolatry. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me.
I don't have any other gods. Did I talk about multiple gods? I said I believe in the universal consciousness, the one power, the one thing, the one. If you want to call it God, that's okay. I just choose not to put a label on God.
Here's another question.
I'm a man. How can I label him anything?
Here's another question. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, we've looked at four of them, will you be innocent or guilty?
I don't believe God is judgmental as so many people believe.
If God
worries that I don't have.
Remember we used the word if. If God judged
you,
would you be innocent or guilty?
If he judged me, I'd be the way that people perceive it or that it seems to be perceived.
Lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart.
Everybody'd be condemned to hell.
What about you?
I'd be condemned to hell.
So does it concern you that if you die
and
today?
I'm a person that's going to help change the world. I'm going to change millions of people around the world to draw people together and help them find this one loving, one thing.
Okay, now listen to me. Listen to me, Magic, because this is so important. Your salvation's at stake at this present moment. If you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'd be damned in eternity. And I don't want that to happen. Now, do you know what God did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell? How's your knowledge on that?
You mean Jesus Christ died on the cross to save for all of our sins?
Now, do you realize that was a legal transaction? You violated God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid your fine. That means God can legally dismiss your case.
My mom's an atheist and my dad's Catholic.
I'm asking you if you had a Christian background.
I've gone to many different churches searching for the answer to
you have had a Christian background.
I'm not sure if I've had it. I come from an atheist in a Catholic.
Have you been born?
Born
again? Ever?
I've never been baptized or.
Have you ever given your life to Christ? Come on, I want some honor.
Yeah, sure. I did 9 months in jail and 6 months in jail. Let me tell you, during
when
those
you
times,
were there, you gave.
Out.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now I'm not in jail, and now life and all these people around the world are reaching out in this amazing cause that I'm a part of, and every day, multiple times a day, God hugs me and lets me know that I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right thing.
What
Just
say?
Like God lets you know.
What
you're
say?
On the right path and you're doing the right thing because you're going to reach millions and millions of people. But there are people
Magic.
That you can't reach because they don't want to be reached that way. They have their own thing.
I'm talking to one today.
No,
I'm telling you the gospel truth. If you die today and God gives you justice, lean up in hell. I don't want that to happen to you. You've got to repent and trust the Savior. Do you have a Bible at home?
No.
You don't?
But I like those blank pages in the back of the Bible.
I'm not surprised. Hey, Magic, thank you very much
you
for
know
talking to me.
The Bible was made of hemp.
I hope you'll think
first
seriously
Bible
about
on hemp.
Not surprised. I want you to think about what we talked about, because Jesus said, "What shall a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?"
Use all green plants to their uses. In the Bible,
let me say it again.
Time, let's do that.
One more time. Please think about this. Jesus said, "What shall a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So please give this some serious thought. Thanks
Absolutely.
For talking to me.
I'm thinking on every day. Thank
yeah.
you, my friend. Continue
Thank you
on
very
your
much.
Mission.
That was Ray Comfort witnessing to someone telling them about the gospel with the video called that's from the Living Waters University with the young man named Magic. And we are going to take a break. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And also, usually we're on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., but today we're on Pacific time. Today we're on special time. And here we go.
Apartheid, biblical or evolutionary? Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the powerful book against racism entitled Darwin's Plantation. Some people say that the discrimination called apartheid in South Africa was based on biblical teaching. Well, it was really based on evolution as well as an incorrect understanding of the Bible. Much of the early discrimination against non-whites in South Africa was built on a false belief. It was a view that the so-called dark races were the descendants of Canaan who were to be the servants of Canaan's brothers. But such a view is reading into scripture rather than reading what it actually states. Later, the racial discrimination in South Africa heated up through a psychologist, Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. He had studied in Nazi Germany, and he accepted the racial hygiene theories of the Nazis, which were based on Darwin's racist evolutionary teachings. You see, nowhere does the Bible say we should discriminate on the basis of skin shade, and people did not evolve from ape-like ancestors. We're all descendants from Adam and Eve. We're all equal. We're all one race.
Ken Ham elaborates on this intriguing topic in a booklet, Where Did All the Races Come From? Get your copy by calling toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS, and we'll send 10 of them to you for your donation of any size. That's toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web at answersoffer.org.
Truth Be Told Radio is a radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. Truth Be Told Radio features street preaching, witnessing, special guests, apologetics, sermons, Bible trivia, interesting tidbits, contests, plus more. Truth Be Told Radio uses a unique and interactive forum with its own live chat room where you can chat live with the hosts, guests, and other listeners of the show. Listeners can also call in to talk to the hosts or listen live to the broadcast via phone. Truth Be Told Radio airs on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Truth Be Told Radio is seeking Christian businesses and Christian ministries who produce Christian books and merchandise. We are seeking to make live on-air product and book reviews. It can be anything from a book to a game with a Christian or biblical theme. If you're interested in having your book or product reviewed on our show, please email us via our website at truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
If I have to go through one more online dating service, I may just scream. It's been a nightmare.
I hear that more and more from single women and men Jim and I talk with. It's a dilemma that's a growing concern. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. It's so easy to make wrong choices that'll hurt you and others. Make a list of the godly qualities to look for in those you date. It's so easy to confuse cute with character. Be careful. Be patient. Pursue godliness in your own life and trust God to bring the right person to you. And above all, enjoy your life now. Spend your time and emotion on people you know and love. Don't obsess about men or even about being married. God wants your mind on Him, on living His way, on developing that quality of godliness in your life. This is Elizabeth George.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Do you ever consider the reason for your coming to the Savior? Was there a thorough knowledge of sin? Where did it come from? Try to relive the emotions of the day of your conversion. Did the law condemn you? Did it send you to the cross? What part did your conscience play in your salvation? Did it suddenly come alive? Or had it been speaking to you for some time?
What do you think was your greatest sin? Were you afraid of God? Was there a knowledge of future punishment? Most of all, think of what would have happened to you if you had died in your sins. Then express your gratitude to God for that cross where His great love was poured out for you, and let it motivate you to do His will and reach the lost.
There goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And right now I'm going to have an open air clip from Tony Mariano, also known as Note of Saint the Lawman. And you could see more about him on the Lawman Chronicles. I think it's lawmanchronicles.blogspot.com. Also, he has a show here on called Ambassadors Alliance on Blog Talk Radio, and I think you should have Thursday's night. This one's from February 15th, 2010 this year. It was an open air at the DMV that he went to. He was going there to do his DMV business, and then he also had an open air. And I will be back after you listen to this.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Can I catch you?
I wouldn't suggest that. The Secret Service would probably get a little cranky. Although someone did try to get change for one of those in a Walmart back east. They're now spending a lot of time with the federal authorities, but to each his own, I guess. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Is it English or Spanish?
Spanish.
Good morning. Good morning.
Is there a real man?
Excuse me?
Real money.
No, it's really made of paper, though.
Oh, okay, you got $1 million.
A trillion, actually. Oh, it's a $1 trillion bill.
This is a national debt.
Yeah, trying to stimulate the economy. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wow, this line goes on forever. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I wish this was real.
Good morning.
I
You don't want
it? I already got one.
Oh, you already got one? Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning, folks. My name is Tony. I am not with the DMV like you. I'm stuck standing in line, waiting to do business with the DMV. I'm here to renew my license. And I was reading my form. I noticed something interesting above the signature line. It says, I certify under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of California that the information I have provided is true and correct. We all live by laws in this state, and we will be judged by the laws. Some people will go into the DMV today, and they will sign right under that statement, knowing that they're lying about what they're signing to. Maybe it's a medical condition. Maybe it's the value of their vehicle that they're registering. Maybe they're going to lie about getting some new tabs for their car because they put their tabs on another car. People do that all the time. And if they're caught, they're going to be judged by the law for perjury. There's another law that we all live by, whether we realize it or not, and it's the law of God, the Ten Commandments. He has written that law on our heart. We all know that it's wrong to lie, yet we lie. We all know that it's wrong to steal, but yet sometimes people steal. We all know that it's wrong to hate another person, but yet at times we do that too. We all know that it's wrong to look at someone other than a spouse and have a sexual thought, but yet we do that too. We all know that those things are wrong because they're written on our heart. God has written His law on our heart. Now, folks, we're all part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. We're all going to die someday. And when we do, we're going to stand before God, and He's going to judge us according to that law. And if He finds us guilty, because He is good, He must punish our law-breaking. He must punish our sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, it doesn't matter whether we like it. It doesn't matter whether or not we believe it. What matters is whether or not it's true. Folks, you could go into a courtroom and stand before a judge, and the judge could find you guilty, and you could say, I don't believe you're the judge, I don't believe I'm guilty, and I don't believe I'm going to prison, so I'm walking out of the courtroom. How close to the doors do you get before a bailiff tackles you and takes you off to jail? It doesn't matter what you believe about the law or the judge. What matters is what the judge believes about you. And folks, the bad news is that we've all sinned against God, we've all violated His law, we all stand guilty before Him, and we're all going to face the consequences for that one day. Unless there is good news. Unless God does something on our behalf. And the good news is this. God has provided a way for us to escape His just and His holy wrath. And it's not by being good people, because we've all fallen short. It's not by being religious. Millions of people go to church on Sunday and live like hell Monday through Saturday. That doesn't make us right with God. No, it's something that God did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, He never once violated God's law. He couldn't. He was God in the flesh. And about 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross, suffered and died a horrible death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment you and I do deserve for violating God's law. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, forever defeating sin and death. And what He requires of us is that we turn from our sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Our only hope of salvation, our only hope of freedom from the just penalty of our sins against God, our only hope of forgiveness is through what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection. So folks, please consider these things. I know this sounds very strange that some guy is going to preach to you at the DMV. But if I care about you as human beings, and I know the truth, and I know that we're going to stand before God one day, and I don't tell you these things, then that means I hate you as a person. And I don't. I don't even live in Bellflower. I just happen to be here today to go to the DMV. But I care about you. I don't want anyone to perish in their sin. I don't want anybody to go to hell. So please, turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while he's giving you time. DMV ought to open in just a couple of minutes. Thank you very much for listening.
That was the lawman, Tony Maiano, preaching at DMV, and you're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. If you want to find me on Facebook, you'll find me as Melissa A. Cantrella. Make sure you have the middle initial, and my last name is spelled C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A. And next, gonna play, let's see, I think we'll take a break. You're seeing Truth Be Told Radio, and usually I'm on 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, Sundays. Today's special weekday show. And here you go.
I once sang in a choir where the director insisted that all eyes be on him at all times. Hey, there's no question about it. The music was better when we did that. Hi, this is Dan Hayden with another edition of A Word from the Word. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one who gives us the kind of faith that produces joy. He's the author of it. And he's the one who strengthens our faith so that we experience increasing joy. He's the perfecter of it. So the important thing for us is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes is one word in the original text. It's a word that means to look away at something, to fix one's eyes intently. It has the idea of staring at something, always staring at Jesus. That's the idea. It would be very much like the members of a concert choir keeping their eyes on the conductor. The conductor inspires them with his example. He gives them their cues. He keeps them in sync. He draws out the energy of their voices to sing with forte or with pianissimo. They are looking away from everything else in order to fix their eyes steadfastly on him. That's this word. So we are to keep our eyes on Jesus that way, ignoring every distraction in order to follow his example. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, if you're not watching the conductor, how will you know what to do?
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden. That's awordfromtheword.org.
Hey, if it's true that God's Word is living and active, do you feel it's working in your life right now? Well, James McDonald believes it's up to you. So listen up.
The old covenant was written on stone. The new covenant is written on our hearts. It's inside us. We think it and we feel it and we believe it. It's a real thing that's happening. We're not just going through the motions, church and the check mark and blah, blah, blah. We really believe this stuff. Amen? All right. God has put that into our minds. You couldn't do that for yourself. Okay? So God's like, I don't need any more robots, man. I want hearts from people. It's a covenant of the heart.
Listen Up is a production of Walk in the Word. The whole purpose of Listen Up is to ignite passion in the people of God through the proclamation of truth. Need to get fired up? Go to listenuptoday.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. Find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And usually we're on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, but today, special weekday show. And I'm going to play this clip from, it's Way the Master, called Living Waters University. And this one has featured a young lady named Sarah, and let me see, since I can't find it right away, I will play another short break.
Oh, he's so adorable.
He's got your eyes, honey.
Oh.
Come on, watch him, Mommy Trevor. Come on.
Here you go.
Look, how is he doing it?
Oh, I see him. Come here, big guy.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Come on, Trevor.
Do it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
Hit a home run.
Coming up on the stoplight. Now, don't forget your brakes, son. Son. Son?
Do you, Trevor, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
I never see him grow up. Why was I so blind?
Abortion, the great heartbreak of our day. The Bible has the answers to our culture's biggest needs. To learn more, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Let me introduce you to Truth Be Told Radio. It's a live and about the presence
drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been. About the cross. It's about the cross.
That was, excuse me, sorry. That was It's About the Cross by the club Go Fish, and you can see more about them at gofishguys.com. That's gofishguys.com. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And also, if you want to check us out on Facebook, we're on there. And our Twitter account is officially bought. Okay, no, that's mine. Well, mine's Bond Servant for JC, and the Truth Be Told Radio one is Truth, and then a letter B, then Told Radio, Truth, B, the letter B, Told Radio, and mine's Bond Servant for JC. So you can have me. I think I actually update the Bond Servant one more than the Truth Be Told Radio, though. Thank you for listening to me, and if you're listening live, you can call in 347-884-9505, 347 area code, 884-9505, and I think we're just going to take a break. I was trying to find someone about the Living Waters clip about Sarah. Going to take a break, and then I'll take some time to find out. Thank you again for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
We're told in Scripture that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. After Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, we're told that many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." What did she mean by saying, "He told me all that I ever did"?
The answer's clear. He spoke to her about her transgression of the seventh commandment. What was the result? Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus. How can we best imitate the Master? We can also testify using the same law to show sinners their personal transgressions. The next time you witness, use the Ten Commandments as Jesus did, and watch what happens.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
We're back with from the clip of Sarah with Living Waters University. Living Waters University is it's a little evangelism clip that helps you to learn how to talk to people about the gospel. And you listen to Truth Be Told Radio, and here's Sarah on Living Waters University.
This next girl is someone who says that she took a class on the subject of death. Seems that it didn't actually shed much light on the subject for her. In fact, she says that she's been born again many, many times. And unfortunately, that's typical of a lot of people today, especially in religious communities in the Bible Belt. Get ready for this clip. Ray witnesses to the girl with the pink hair.
I've studied thanatology. It's the study of death.
And what did you discover?
There's a lot of different theories on what happens after death.
What do you think happens? Well, tell me some different theories.
Incarnation, there's...
Reincarnation?
Yeah, reincarnation, there's heaven, hell, all those, but...
So what do you think? What did you come out of that with?
I don't know, honestly.
Are you afraid of dying?
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate you being honest. So do you think you can do anything about death?
No. It's going to happen one day or another.
What causes death? Why are we all going to die?
Because that's life. Life is a circle. It keeps going around and around.
Do you believe in God?
Some ways, yes.
So why did he give us death? Why do we have love and laughter and fun and food and friendship and then death? And it can come at any moment. How old are you?
I'm 19.
Imagine if you died at 19. What a tragedy. You just got here and you're getting ready to leave, you know? So do you think there's an afterlife?
I honestly don't think there is.
So when you're dead, you're dead. It's just all over.
Yeah.
So there's no justice. Like a guy like Hitler killed 6 million people, and God doesn't mind. He just says, oh, well, never mind. You think there's a judgment day?
I don't know. I mean, I've had so many different experiences, like going through that class. I have no idea because there's so many different theories of death.
Well, Sarah, if there is a heaven, do you think you're a good enough person to go there? Are you a good person?
Yeah, I believe so.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot. I mean, no one's perfect.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer or a thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yep.
God gave you life and you used his name as a cuss word, which is called blasphemy. Yeah. Now Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that?
What?
If you look with sexual desire at someone, you commit adultery in your heart. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You ever done that?
Yeah.
So Sarah, listen to this. You're not a good person. You're like the rest of us. But by your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterate heart. And that's only 4 of the 10 commandments. There's another 6. Have you ever hated someone?
Yes.
The Bible says if you hate someone, you commit murder in your heart. So if you died and stood before God in judgment, and he judged you by those commandments, bearing in mind that you're self-admitted lying thief, blasphemer, murderer, and an adulterer at heart, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
Does that concern you?
Not at the moment, because right now I'm just kind of worrying about my life that I'm living.
Yeah, but if you died tonight, you'd end up in hell. That's got to concern you. Come on, Sarah.
But
Think of how
they
precious.
No, there you can't feel anything after you die, so.
Oh, that's what the Bible says. Hell is a terrible place of torment, and I'd hate you to go there. And do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
I have no idea.
Excuse me?
What was the question?
Do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Tell me about it.
He sacrificed himself.
Do you understand what that means, the implications?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I understand.
Well, tell me, what do you think it means?
Well, he's sacrificing himself to keep us alive, and he's trying to teach us to be good.
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. I'll try and express it the best way I can. Sarah, you violated God's law. In his eyes, you're a criminal by violating that moral law. Jesus came and paid your fine in his life's blood. That means God can legally dismiss your case. You can walk out of God's courtroom because 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered for you and paid your fine and rose again on the third day. What you've got to do in response to that is repent. That is, turn from your sins and trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. Sarah, the minute you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed and he'll give you everlasting life. He'll release you from the power of death and that fear of death that torments you. Now, do you believe I'm telling you the truth?
Yeah, I believe.
You do? So there are two things you have to do to be saved from hell. Do you remember what they are? I just told you what they are.
Be good.
No, you've got to repent and trust in Jesus, okay? When are you going to do that?
Every day.
You mean you've got to do that from now on?
Yeah.
I'm talking about giving up your life, surrendering to God, becoming a Christian, being born again.
I've been born again plenty of times.
Plenty of times? Yeah, well, you need to do it once and for all. It's like saying to someone, hey, you have to jump out of a plane, got your parachute on? Yeah, I put it on plenty of times. But something's wrong. You got to put it on and keep it on, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you have a Bible at home?
No.
You don't? Okay, look, I'm deadly serious about this. I care about you and your salvation, and I want you to think seriously about it yourself, okay? Will you do that?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for talking to me, Sarah.
Thank you.
Listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and that was Ray Comfort with the Living Water University clip from YouTube with Sarah. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio right now, and we'll go to the break.
Ancient toothpaste leaves teeth fresh and clean. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America. A remarkable formula for toothpaste was recently discovered on an Egyptian papyrus, and it dates back from the 4th century and makes it the world's oldest known recipe for toothpaste. You see, the formula was presented at an international dental meeting, and it caused quite a stir among the scientists there. The recipe includes mint, salt, grains of pepper, and dried iris flowers. One of the dentists at the conference actually tried the toothpaste and said it was not unpleasant, and it left his mouth feeling fresh and clean. But what makes this so remarkable is that the first commercially prepared toothpaste goes back to 1873. And not until very recently did dental researchers discover the beneficial properties of the iris. It has an agent that helps prevent gum disease. You know, the teaching of evolution that permeates our culture has caused people to think that, well, we're the most advanced humans. After all, look at our technology. But from a biblical perspective, we would expect that humans have always been highly intelligent. Today's the last day you can order a set of Ken Ham's fascinating booklets on racism and the origin of races. He'll show that all of today's people groups go back to Noah and his sons and all the way back to Adam and Eve. Get Ken's booklets when you make a donation of any size when you call 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Quran, is it different to Genesis? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis. You know, I've been asked, what are some of the differences between the Quran and the Bible's book of Genesis? Well, while it's true that the Quran says that the scriptures Christians use were given by God, there are some major differences between Genesis chapters 1 through 11 and the Quran. For example, the Bible says man was created on earth in the Garden of Eden, but the Quran says that man was created in paradise, not earth. Our Bible says creation happened over six 24-hour days. Now, while the Quran says creation happened in 6 days, they could be interpreted as millions of years. And the Bible says we're saved by grace and not by works, but the Quran says those with a heavy balance of good deeds will attain salvation. Others will abide in hell. So Christians need to know how to defend their faith against false religions like Islam. And knowing the real history of the world, as clearly stated in Genesis, gives us confidence to reach Muslims with the true gospel.
As we close out the year, we have a brand new tool for 2010 that's not only striking, but filled with Bible-upholding information. For your donation of any size, we'll send you our 2010 wall calendar. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this wonderful wall calendar by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
Truth Be Told Radio is a radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. Truth Be Told Radio features street preaching, witnessing, special guests, apologetics, sermons, Bible trivia, interesting tidbits, contests, plus more. Truth Be Told Radio uses a unique and interactive forum with its own live chat room, where you can chat live with the hosts, guests, and other listeners of the show. Listeners can also call in to talk to the hosts or listen live to the broadcast via phone. Truth Be Told Radio airs on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Truth Be Told Radio is seeking Christian businesses and Christian ministries who produce Christian books and merchandise. We are seeking to make live on-air product and book reviews. It can be anything from a book to a game with a Christian or biblical theme. If you're interested in having your book or product reviewed on our show, please email us via our website at truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is Ralph, Melissa Cantrella. And next, we got up for you another clip from The Law Man, also known as Tony Mariano. And he has his own show called Ambassadors Alliance here on Blog Talk Radio. So you can check that out. I think it's on Thursdays night. So please check out his show, Ambassadors Alliance Radio. And here is Tony Mariano at the Valencia Marketplace Amphitheater on February 13, 2010.
Good afternoon, folks. Hope you're all having a great day today. Yeah, this looks a little strange, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, we live in a great country, a country where we can exercise what's known as free speech. In many parts of the world, someone could go to jail for doing something like this, but at least in this country, we still have the right to do that. I'd like to ask you all a question. The answer is probably obvious, at least it should be obvious to most of you. I haven't asked the question yet, and he's laughing. The question is this. If you were to suffer a heart attack, and your heart stopped working, and your lungs stopped working, is there anything you could do by your own power to bring yourself back to life? Let me ask that again. If you had a heart attack right now, and your heart stopped working, and your lungs stopped working, you were clinically dead, is there anything you could do by your own power to bring yourself back to life? Now, hopefully, you already know what the answer is to that question. I'd like to share with you from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And again, the question is, if you were clinically dead, if you suffered and died of a heart attack, your heart stopped working, your lungs stopped working, is there anything you could do to bring yourself back to life? What do you think? No, nothing at all, right? Unless there's intervention from an outside source, unless someone here who knows CPR or a paramedic shows up, starts pumping on your chest and breathing for you, you're without hope. There's nothing you could... He's a nurse, okay, so we have a nurse present, good. So the nurse would likely agree with you that if someone's clinically dead, there's nothing that person could do to bring themselves back to life. Well, folks, the same is true about us spiritually. Because we have sinned against God, because we have broken his law, we are all dead spiritually, and there's nothing we can do on our own to bring ourselves back to life. Now, if you wonder what sin is transgression of God's law, and here's a summary of that law. The first commandment is that we should have no other gods but the one true God. If we've ever worshipped a god other than the God who has revealed himself in his word, then we have broken that law. We've sinned against him. The second commandment is that you shall have no idols. You shall not make for yourself any graven images. Well, now most of you, I would hazard a guess, probably have never done that. You've probably never carved something out of wood or stone or metal and bowed down to worship it because you realize it's an inanimate object and there's nothing it can do for you. But yet, there's actually a more common form of idolatry, and that's idolatry of the mind. And that's when we fashion a god in our own imagination to suit ourselves. A god that is not holy or righteous or just, a god that'll turn a blind eye to sin, a god that'll simply serve as some kind of divine butler. Whenever we jingle our spiritual bell, he'll come running and do what we want and otherwise stay out of sight and out of mind. Now, it's true that that god cannot judge you. He won't judge you because he doesn't exist. But that same imaginary God can't save you either for the same reason, because he doesn't exist. The third commandment is that we should not take God's name in vain. We should not take the name of the God who has given us life and throw it around if it's of no value. That's called blasphemy. In fact, the Word of God says, the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. One of the commandments is that we should honor our mother and father. Now, who among us can say with a straight face that we were the perfect child growing up? The likelihood is that none of us could say that, but yet that's one of God's commands. And if we have violated that command, he'll find us guilty of breaking his law as well. One of the commandments is that we should not murder. Now, my hope, since I'm kind of exposed here standing on the box, there are no murderers present, but have you ever hated anybody? Have you ever harbored bitterness or resentment without cause? Been angry and called somebody a fool or an idiot? Well, God equates that with murder. The Bible says whoever hates another person is a murderer. You have to consider where murder begins. It begins with hatred in the heart, moves to the mind where we formulate a plan, and to the hand where we carry out the act. But the murder began the moment we started to hate somebody. And God not only judges our actions, he judges the intentions of our heart as well. Have you ever looked with lust, committed adultery? And you might think, well, no, I haven't committed adultery because I'm not married, so I can't cheat on a spouse because I don't have one. Or I am married and I've never cheated on my spouse. Well, that's good. I'm glad you could answer that way. But yet Jesus took that standard a step higher. He said, you have heard that it was said from old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, Jesus speaking, I say to you, whoever looks at another person to lust after them has already committed adultery with that person in their heart. Again, God not only judges our actions, he judges the intentions of our heart as well. One of his commandments is that we shouldn't steal. Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you? It doesn't matter how long ago, doesn't matter how small the item, time and value doesn't forgive sin. If I were to steal your car today, and I have no plan to do that, if I were to steal your car today and I got away with it for 20 years, am I any less guilty 20 years from now than the day I took your car? No. And if we've stolen anything, God sees us as a thief. We've broken his law. The last of those Ten Commandments, which is a summary of his law, is that we shouldn't covet. We shouldn't want something that belongs to someone else. We should be satisfied with what God has given us in this life. And if we have violated that commandment, God will see us as a lawbreaker too. Now, you might hear all of those commandments and think, well, okay, I'll admit to one or two, but I'm not guilty of all of those. But that won't help you in the end. The Word of God says whoever tries to keep the whole law, whoever tries to keep all of the commandments, but yet stumbles in one point, is guilty of all of them. Now, you might think, well, that's an impossible standard. You're right. None of us can live up to that standard. But yet Jesus said you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And although we can't live up to that standard of perfection, God doesn't lower His standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. Because God is holy and righteous and just, and because He's good, He must punish sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now that's bad news, and it really doesn't matter whether we like it or whether we believe it. What matters is whether or not it is true. And the Word of God is true. If we receive what we deserve for violating God's law because He is good, no matter how much we shake our head or deny it, He is going to punish our sin, and the punishment for our sin is eternity in hell. But there is good news. Just as that passage said, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. We can't save ourselves spiritually. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, and because of that, we cannot bring ourselves to life spiritually. We need divine intervention from an outside source. Just as a person who is clinically dead would need help from a nurse or a doctor or a paramedic, we need help from an outside source. And God has provided only one way. He's provided only one way for us to escape His just and His holy wrath. He's provided only one way for us to receive spiritual life, and that was through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you, certainly unlike me, He never once violated the law of God. He couldn't. He was God in the flesh, the sinless Lamb of God, born of a virgin, just as the prophet said He would be, 750 years before His birth. And about 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross, suffered and died a horrible death He did not deserve, shedding His innocent blood to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for violating God's law. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, forever defeating sin and death. And what He requires of us is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Again, because we are dead in our sins, there is nothing we can do to bring ourselves back to life, and there is nothing we can do to earn God's grace, to earn God's forgiveness. Going to church no more makes us right with God than going to In-N-Out makes us a double-double. Folks, there are millions of people who go to church on Sunday and live like hell Monday through Saturday. That doesn't make you right with God. Doing good works, giving to the poor, helping little old ladies across the street, all of those are nice things to do, but none of that makes us right with God. Just as a judge in a courtroom cannot be bribed, neither can God. If you were standing before a judge in a courtroom having been found guilty of breaking the law, and the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, well, I've helped two little old ladies across the street, I give to the poor, and I go to church. That doesn't make you not guilty for the law for which you stand convicted. You'll be held accountable for the law you broke. And when you die and you stand before God, if all you have to show for yourself is your own perceived goodness, He's going to find you guilty. I was a deputy sheriff out here for 20 years, spent a lot of time in courtrooms, and there was a saying among the judges and the attorneys that went like this: anybody who goes into court to defend themselves has a fool for a client. And we saw that happen many times, where somebody who knew they were as guilty as sin, as the saying goes, but they thought that they could beat the rap by defending themselves, and they just found themselves being found guilty by their jury of their peers or by the judge, and off to prison they go. Anyone who goes into court to defend themselves has a fool for a client. And the same is true for us if we think we're going to stand before God and declare our innocence and goodness before Him and have Him let us go. We have a fool for a client. But thanks be to God for His indescribable gift that He has provided an advocate, an attorney, a mediator who will stand before the Heavenly Father to declare us innocent, not because we are innocent, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Instead of God seeing us clothed in only our unrighteousness and sin, instead He will see us clothed in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And based on what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, that is the basis by which any of us can be saved. It's not through our own perceived goodness, it's not through religion, and it's certainly not through denying God. The passage I read to you says very simply, by grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's a gift from God, not as a result of work, so that no one can boast. If I offered you a watch as a gift, and you took it, and I said, that'll be $300, is it still a gift? Of course not. If you have to pay for it, If you have to do anything to work for it, it's no longer a gift. It's now wages earned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, we're all part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. We're all going to die someday. That's not a scare tactic. That's reality. And the 100,000, 150,000 people who died a couple of weeks ago in Haiti, they all had one thing in common that day. None of them were expecting to die that day. None of them were expecting the world to cave in around them that day. And that's why the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. Not when you're standing before Him waiting to be judged. That would be like going into a courtroom, standing before the judge and saying, wait, I didn't think I was going to get caught. I didn't think the jury would find me guilty, and I didn't think it'd sentence me, so I think you ought to just let me go and forget the whole thing. Well, the judge is going to say, you should have thought about that before you broke the law. And the same will be true if you do that when you stand before God. He will see you clothed only in your sin, and because He's good, He'll have to punish that sin, and that punishment is hell for all eternity. Now, folks, I share these things with you not because I want anybody to perish in their sin. I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's why I'm risking looking like a fool to you to share this message, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. But there's nothing I can do about it. I'm but a man. I can't save you, and I can't condemn you. But if I care about you as a human being, I'm going to try to introduce you to the only one who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Folks, religion will not save you. Buddha will not save you, folks. Buddha's dead. Muhammad will not save you, folks. Muhammad's dead. The millions of false gods in Hinduism, they can't save you. They're inanimate objects created by men. They can do nothing for you. They can't hear, they can't speak, they can't see, they can't talk, they can't feel. But yet millions of people bow down to worship them every day. The only one who can save you from your sin, the only one who can give you eternal life, is a God who is alive. And Jesus is alive. When He defeated sin and death on that cross, 3 days later He rose from the grave and forever defeated sin and death. Now some of you might hear that and think, well, that's just a story. Can't believe the Bible. It's not true. Just a fairy tale. Well, what if this young man here, I'm sorry, you just happen to be sitting there. Sheriff's deputies roll up, they rush out of the car, they run over to this young man here, they throw handcuffs on him and they throw him in the car because they think that he just robbed the Vons down the street. Well, there's 30 or 40 of us here who could testify that he's innocent. He's sitting here laughing at the analogy right now. There's no way he could have been down at Vons a few minutes ago robbing the place. He's sitting right here. But yet the deputies think that he's the guy. So they arrest him, they book him, they file the case. The DA says, yep, we're going to trial against this man. What's your first name, sir? TJ? We're going to go to trial against TJ. So now TJ's rightfully nervous because things aren't looking good. So he goes out and he gets himself a good attorney. And his attorney is able to round all of us up, 30, 40 people who are willing to testify. There's no way TJ robbed the Vons. We were here watching this crazy guy in the box talk, and so was TJ. There's no way he robbed Vons. He's innocent. The trial takes weeks to go through all of our testimony. The trial goes to the jury. The jury deliberates for about 30 minutes, and the jury decides that TJ is guilty, and the judge sends him to prison. Would that be just? Absolutely not. Of course not. If you were on the jury, if you heard the eyewitness testimony of 40 witnesses testifying that TJ is innocent, wouldn't that be enough compelling evidence for you to exonerate him of a crime he did not commit? I should hope so. No less than 500 people testified, many of them willing to go to their death, that Jesus Christ did not remain in the tomb, that He rose from the grave. They saw Him, they talked to Him, they walked with Him, they broke bread with Him, they ate fish with Him along the shore. Thomas, everybody knows about doubting Thomas, but many people don't know what he did. After Jesus died and rose from the grave, the women ran back to the house to the ten disciples who were there, and they said, we've seen the risen Lord. And they were amazed. And soon after that, Jesus appears to them. And they believed. They saw the risen Lord. Thomas wasn't there. He came back a little while later. All the other disciples were saying, we saw Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. Thomas said, unless I see Him, unless I put my hands in His side, and my finger in His side, and my finger in His hands, I will not believe. Soon after that, Jesus appears again, stands before Thomas. Thomas drops to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. He didn't say, oops, I think I had too much mustard on my unleavened bread last night. I think this is an illusion. He dropped to his knees and he said, "My Lord and my God." 500 people testified, willing to go to their death, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And it is that same Jesus, God in the flesh, who is alive today and who will return at a time of the Father's choosing, who is the only one who can save you from your sins. He is the only one who can grant you everlasting life. Yes, sir. Oh, you're welcome, sir. So, please, I ask you to consider these things. I appreciate your patience. I certainly appreciate your tolerance. Doesn't always happen that way. But please consider these things. There's nothing more important than your soul. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet forfeit his soul?" Folks, we're going to live forever. The question is, where? In eternity, with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, worshiping at his feet for all eternity in perfect joy and communion, or receiving the just punishment for our sins against God in eternity in hell. So folks, I beg of you, please, consider these things. Turn from your sins, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while he's given you time. Now, I don't want anything from you. I think way too much money has been taken in the name of Jesus. I don't want to try to sign you up for a church, but I do have something I want to give to you. I have Bibles in both English and Spanish. I also have a really interesting DVD that I think pretty effectively refutes the religion of evolution, and I just want to give them away. All you have to do is raise your hand, and I'll gladly bring it to you, no strings attached. But open the Word of God for yourself. See if what I'm telling you is true. Thank you for listening.
That was Tony DeLama preaching about the gospel, and that was a clip he did in Valencia. He made that. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And next, you're going to read something from the Evidence Bible. It's a regular Bible with the extra tidbits from little lessons from Great Comfort. And this one's part's called Questions and Objections. It says, "Jesus wasn't sinless. He became angry when he cleared the temple." And this is scripture reference to Mark 11:15. It said, "The temple of God was filled with the day's equivalent of money-grubbing televangelists. Jesus called it a den of thieves," verse 17, "because the money changers were not interested in God, but in taking financial advantage of those who came to worship. Anger at hypocrisy isn't a sin, it's a virtue." And here's a part from, also from the Evidence Bible. It's called Springboards for Preaching and Witnessing, with scripture reference to Luke 11:39. It's called Sting Operation. Some years ago, Southern California police carried out an interesting sting operation. They had a list of thousands of wanted criminals who had somehow evaded jail. Instead of risking their lives by going and attempting to arrest each one, they sent all the criminals a letter telling them they had won a large amount of money in a drawing. The police put signs and banners on a building and placed balloons and even a clown on the outside to create a festive atmosphere to welcome the winners, in quotes. As each criminal entered the building, he heard music and celebration. He was then ushered into a room where he smiled as his hand was shaken. The facial expression changed from one of joy to unbelief as each was told, "Congratulations, you just won time in prison." Dozens of criminals made their way through the main doors, were arrested and ushered out the back door. It was interesting that many of these lawbreakers declared, I thought it was a sting operation, but their greed wouldn't let them stay away." And that's from Evidence Bible with compilings by Ray Comfort. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And we will take a break. Here you go.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
The Aborigines. Are they the missing link? Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at this July's Creation Family Conference near the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. I have to admit, as an Australian, that the treatment of Aborigines is a very sad part of our history. But you know, it must be told. You see, we first need to understand that pure Darwinian evolution teaches that certain cultures have people who are more closely related to apes than others. And unfortunately, the Australian Aborigines were once considered to be the closest to the ape-like creatures. For a while, these people were valued as prized specimens for museums around the world. It's a shocking fact that scientists from Germany, England, and other countries sent hunters to Australia to kill the Aborigines. They then boil their skulls and skin them so they could have specimens for their museums. By the way, Charles Darwin, someone that evolutionists celebrated this past year on his 200th birthday, was extremely interested in the Aborigines. He viewed them as evidence for his idea. You know, the Bible's clear. God made Adam and Eve, and we're all of one blood.
So what does the Bible say about the origin of all the different people groups around the world? Well, today's one of the last days to receive Ken's booklets on the origin of the races, and we'll send 10 of these booklets to you for a donation of any size. Call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS. We can be reached at 888-89-ANSWERS or on the web at answersoffer.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Hey, if it's true that God's Word is living and active, do you feel it's working in your life right now? Well, James McDonald believes it's up to you. So listen up.
The old covenant was written on stone. The new covenant is written on our hearts. It's inside us. We think it and we feel it and we believe it. It's a real thing that's happening. We're not just going through the motions, church and the check mark and blah, blah, blah. We really believe this stuff. Amen? All right, God has put that into our minds. You couldn't do that for yourself, okay? So God's like, I don't need any more robots, man. I want hearts from people. It's a covenant of the heart.
Listen Up is a production of Walk in the Word. The whole purpose of Listen Up is to ignite passion in the people of God through the proclamation of truth. Need to get fired up? Go to listenuptoday.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrola. And next we will have a part from another from the Evidence Bible. It's questions and objections. I believe I will go to heaven because I live by the golden rule. Much of the world knows the golden rule simply as do unto others as you would have them done unto you. See Luke 6:31. According to this verse, if we can live by this rule and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves, we fulfill the law. Ask those who claim to do this if they ever have lied, stolen, hated, or looked with lust. If they have broken any of these commandments, they haven't loved those that they have lied, stolen from, etc. And that's from the Evidence Bible compiled by Ray Comfort. And next we will do a song by Apologetics. It's their parody band, and just find out more about them at apologetics.com. It's APOLOGETIX. Make sure there's X at the end. Apologetics.com. And this one's a parody of the song Picture. But this one's called Scripture.
Bible at the hotel. I can see it's some kind of pre-planned place. Been fool enough to go play it risky. Wish I thought the good Lord would miss me. Lord, I wonder what you meant by saved by grace. I put your scripture away. Stop trying to find the way. I can't look for truth while I'm lying. That's the worst. I put your scripture away. I know that crime don't pay. I can't look at you now, I'm crying. Yes, it hurts. I called you last night at the hotel. Everyone goes through their slow spells. But that half-started Bible has something you just can't deny. Written for you for a long time. You just have to start it and keep trying. That ain't hard if you can read and write. I put the scriptures in place. I wrote the words within. I left that book for you so you'd find it, and you did. Don't put my scriptures away. I don't care where you've been. I said that book is true, why not try it? Let me in. Just today with it open.
It was change. I decided to read the Bible today.
The quilt started jumping off the page. But when they read it in church,
I was off and sleeping away. I thought about you for a long time. It seems as if you read my mind. That's because the scriptures are living like they say. I'm glad you picked up today. My word and changed your ways. I just called your name. I want to come back home. I'm glad you picked up today. My word and changed your ways. I just called your name. I want you to come back home. I just called your name. I want you to come back home.
That was Apologetics. That's APOLOGETIX. Don't forget the X at Ben. Apologetics. To find out more about them at apologetics.com. APOLOGETIX. Apologetics.com with the X at Ben. And that was a song called Scripture. And a parody of a song of a picture. You might recognize the music. They are Christian men. They put Christian themes to like their music though. And right now, I am gonna read from a book called "The Answer Book for Kids, Volume 4, it's answering 22 questions from kids on sin, salvation, and a Christian life." This is a question that's from Adam S., age 8, Hawaii, USA. What happens to people who died before Jesus came? Are they in heaven or hell? Answer. They put this verse. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews 12:22-23. Well, Adam, Jesus is and has always been the central point of history. In the Old Testament, we read about the law that was given to the Israelites and all the sacrifice they were commanded by God to carry out, all the festivals they were to keep, and all the feasts they were to conduct. The reason for all these that they pointed to Jesus. You see, since the fall, when sin entered the world, everyone on earth through faith either in Jesus who was to come or Jesus who has now come has opportunities for salvation through faith. This is why Jews had so many laws, festivals, sacrifices, and now have all been fulfilled in Christ, the Messiah they were looking towards. It would have been impossible for a Jew to do something without it having reference to the Messiah yet to come. Praise God, the Messiah has now come. We all need to make sure that we have put our faith and trust in him. So the point, Adam, is that people before Christ were saved by faith and thus went to heaven when they died, and those who did not have faith were separated from God forever. And also scripture references to Hebrews 11:1-12:23, and Hebrews 11:1-12:23 and 13, and Luke 16:19-25, and let's see,
Justin and me on Truth Be Told Radio. We have about 3 minutes left. And then I will do a short break, and then we'll be back. And here we go.
Prayer is so difficult, and I'm not even convinced it works. So why bother?
A great question. And judging by what women tell me, not all that uncommon. So let's talk about it. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Why do we have such a hard time? Well, we live in a world not all that interested in prayer, so it takes discipline to make it happen. And we're busy, too busy sometimes to take time to stop and ask anything of God. Although I've noticed I'm not too busy to go shopping or, well, you fill in the blank. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." If we truly believe in prayer, we wouldn't be able to wait to come into God's presence with our needs and requests. It's something to think about. This is Elizabeth George.
This is Melissa Cantola. Thank you for listening to me on Truth Be Told Radio. Usually I'm on 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Sundays with my host, Guy Reynolds. And we feature teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective. And only a little while left before the show's over, so I'm going to invite you to go to truthbetoldradio.com for more information about us. And also, my friend Guy Reynolds has his own show called Truth Decay, which is also here on Blog Talk Radio. You can hear all our archives on iTunes.com and also on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you for listening. Truth Be Told.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And don't forget to listen to us next time for more teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.